My name's Kevin, in case we haven't met yet. My wife, Claudia, at the back. We started the journey about 3.5 years ago. And just because God's given us a heart for singles, because we had a long journey as single folks ourselves and got married later in life. And most of our friends still today are single. All right, so for those of you, who's here for the first time, just so I get an idea? Okay, a bunch of new faces, good. Welcome the newcomers, good to have you here. In case you don't know, we used to have, our age span or age range was a lot more open, but we just decided just over a month ago that we wanted to focus it to the 30s and 40s because there's so many singles things in the Bay Area that end up being much older singles, and there's nothing for kind of the 30s and, you know, into the 40s. So we've just changed it up, and so we're rebuilding. Our workshops, though, are usually open to people of all ages. All right, so we're doing this thing we're calling A Gentleman and a Lady, Dating Etiquette for the 21st Century. Dating etiquette, for those that don't know, is just the do's and don'ts of dating. So, no hard and fast rules, but there are some good guidelines and some Christian wisdom, and maybe one or two real hard and fast rules, but we'll see. I was talking to Lenny about this later. Yeah, she says, make sure you tell them that one. Okay. and of course, this is from a Christian perspective, because we're a Christian singles group, so and for some of you, some of the things I say may even be controversial or unusual, or you may not agree, and that's fine. We can agree to disagree, but the things I say are rooted in, you know, years of growing up in the church, of biblical values, of watching singles and working with singles and dating and relationships, and watching a lot of people fall into a lot of pit holes or a lot of pits. So this is to help you along your way to great and healthy relationships. Okay, so we started last time with, so this is part two, the sequel. Come on. So we were touching on all these areas. We did the first three last time, and we'll probably just do the next four this time, plus the Q&A. So Christian attitudes for good dating and etiquette. We talked about how that one of the main things you want to go into every date or relationship with anybody is, how can I be a blessing? How can I this person come away feeling like they're better for having met me, right? If you go into any relationship with that attitude, it's a win-win all the way around, no matter what happens in the future. But if you're going into a relationship trying to get something from the other person, it's likely it's not going to work out very well. So we live in a culture where self-gratification and getting whatever you can from life and from other people is kind of the norm. But we live in a, you know, we're in a Christian culture where God wants us to flip that around. So we're going in to see how we can add value, not take. Etiquette for approaching and meeting, we talked about that. Then the do's and don'ts of when asking someone out or accepting and declining. So if you weren't here for that, we will probably in the next week or two have our website up, and we're going to try and get some of the audios for this actually on the website. Or knock, touch somebody on the shoulder who was here last time and get their notes. All right, so etiquette around preparing for the date. All right, but before we go there, I just wanted to just a couple quick things off the top as far as our values here as a journey community. So a lot of times, you know, there tends to be a little bit of a label or sometimes even a stigma attached to a singles event. And, you know, some people come in mind or they think that this is, you know, it's just like a pickup joint. Somehow it's become like a singles bar or something. And we want to kind of set that straight, that that's not our value here at The Journey. We're about helping people cultivate a great relationship with God, great relationships with friends, and then ultimately preparing for great relationships with the opposite sex. And whether you meet somebody here or somewhere else, we believe that what we're sowing, we're learning together as a community will stand you in good stead for anybody that you meet and for, you know, that special someone that'll come around in your life. So we encourage people, don't just come here to find someone. Come here to find what God has to say to you and how you can grow and become the one, right? Rather than find the one. So we call people to come here to become the one. And when you do that, you'll end up finding the one a lot easier. And along those lines, I encourage you to go to our Straight Talk to Christian Singles vlog and watch the video that I did on that particular topic, finding the one. It'll probably be a different take than what you're used to. All right. The other thing we want to avoid here is the extremes around, you know, on the one extreme, we've got the player or the tiger chick. Okay, so the player is the one that goes to all kinds of things, stands at the back, scopes the room, looks for the cutest person. Usually it's the cutest girl, and that's the person they focus on the whole night. And other people come to recognize that person fairly quickly because they tend to ignore other people. They can tend to be a little bit rude, and they just zone in on the one person. That's not what we're about here. We're about us learning how to add value and be a blessing to many people around us, to building relationships. And along the way, you may meet some people, and that's great, and then you can take it, you know, the next step. But we encourage people to be careful of that. You know, there was somebody in another singles leader that was talking to me about a particular person in their group who would go out to an after-event coffee thing in a coffee shop. There'd be a dozen of them there, guys and gals. And then one gal came in who happened to be, you know, whatever, the cuter gal, that in his mind anyways. And so it quickly, from having conversation with everybody, all of a sudden he zoned in on the one person. And for the whole night, he ignored everybody else, and he was just talking to this one person. And there were a number of people around him that were quite hurt by that, because they were friends of his. They'd gone there with him or whatever, and they get the cold shoulder the whole night. And that's not what we're about, right? So we're whether it's before or after, we're encouraging people to be a blessing. Then on the other end of the extreme is the wallflower or the force field syndrome. So we encourage people not to be wallflowers. You know what a wallflower is? So a wallflower, ever been to those high school dance events where the girls stand all along the perimeter of the hall or and hope for a guy to come over and chat with them or ask them out for a date, ask them out for a dance? So we encourage you not to be that. The problem with those girls is the reason they're wallflowers is because they didn't do their homework. In other words, they weren't getting to know people before the dance. They weren't building friendships with the guys and getting to know them and being warm and friendly and so on. So the guys felt comfortable going to ask them out for a dance. So we encourage you to do your homework. In other words, just come here and build community, build relationships, get to know all kinds of people, whether they could be the one or not, because everyone knows other people, right? And if you sow seeds of love, seeds of blessings into one person's life, it always comes back on you, right? That's a scriptural principle. So we encourage you to do that. All right, so preparing for the date. Number one, if you're a Christian, you're praying, right? Always pray before dates. If you never do this, pray before events like this that you go to. Say, Lord, I pray that you would be with me and give me divine connections. Help me to connect with people. Help me to be a blessing, of course, for the date. You're going to pray for the date. Pray for the other person. Ask the Lord to show you how to encourage that person that night. And one of the things that Claudia used to do all the time, which, you know, we always tell single gals to do, but equally valid for the guys, is pray that the Lord would reveal the other person's heart to you. So why go down this dating track if, you know, while down the track you're going to realize, oh no, you know, this is a psycho person and I really don't want to be dating them. Rather ask the Lord to reveal their heart right away, and not necessarily negative. He may reveal negative things that you need to see early on so that you don't, you know, take it further, but you may see all kinds of treasures and amazing things that you wouldn't normally have seen unless the Lord unveiled them to you. So we pray, you know, we encourage you to pray those prayers. And then, of course, as we've mentioned, your preparation, which is a lifetime of preparation, keep preparing to be the one, right? Ask God how you can prepare to be a great date, boyfriend, girlfriend, ultimately great husband or wife. And, you know, be doing your homework, asking the Lord how to, you know, getting to know women or men, the opposite sex, learning what makes them tick, what makes them feel encouraged, what makes them feel good, and start working on developing skills to do those things. Okay, know the purpose of the date. Now, Of course, this is the first date. So, you know, say you met somebody in an event like this. You had a great conversation and you say, hey, you know, I've really enjoyed talking to you. I'd love to, you know, maybe go out for coffee sometime. What do you think? You know, or, you know, maybe you had a great conversation and all you managed to get is a contact information, which is a good way to go as well. You're not quite confident about asking them right then and there out for a date. So you get some con, hey, you know, enjoyed chatting with you. How about we connect over Facebook or can I get your email? And, you know, just say it really casually but confidently. Don't stutter and stammer and, you know, look at the ceiling while you're doing it. Right, guys? If you have to practice at home in the mirror, practice at home, kind of looking in her eye, looking with confidence, saying what you got to say without, you know, looking at your toes and shuffling like this. And, you know, body language says a lot. So you want to even practice your body language. Of course, there's probably guys that are really confident in the asking women out place, but there's some guys that don't. So we're kind of covering our grounds here for everybody. So know the purpose of the date. We would suggest usually you're just going to do like a friendly coffee date at first. Don't make it like this romantic candlelight dinner, you know, and show up at her door with flowers and candy and stuff. That's kind of out in our culture. It may have been good 40, 50 years ago, but it doesn't work anymore. It freaks people out. So you got to use a little wisdom around that. So just a casual coffee thing is normally great. Or a low-key maybe lunch at, say, a cafeteria-style place like an Andelys or something would be fine too, say, on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. But try and keep it casual. Or another way to go, and this actually gives, we normally recommend the guys or the ones doing the initiating. I don't know, women don't like that, and you know, in our culture, especially in the secular arena, more and more women are kind of initiating. But based on our Christian values and biblical values of the man being the priest of the home and taking the lead in things, if you start your dating life that way, you're not going to get what you want in your marriage. So if you want to be the leader in your marriage, women, if you want to be the one doing all the initiating and stuff, then, you know, go for it. But you probably don't want that. Most women we talk to, even, you know, outside of the church, want guys to step up, be the strong, confident initiators. So, and we believe that God's put that in the side of the heart of every woman to desire that. So women learn to be the ones that respond, and men learn to be the ones that initiate. Now, there's a way occasionally a woman can initiate on a date. If you've met a guy a few times and you've had this great rapport, you could possibly say, hey, you know, our church is going to do this picnic thing, and a bunch of my friends are going to be there, and if you'd like to come, or some of your friends would like to come, why don't you join us, right? That's a possibility. You know, I'd be, you know, even a little careful around that, but it's way better to let the guy take the first step. Well, Jenny's like shaking her head. She doesn't like it when women initiate. It occasionally works, but then she's going to have to step back from there on out and let him initiate. Sometimes, as Ray and I were talking beforehand, ladies, guys can be really, really slow. So they're not good with body language. They're not good with clues or hints or little subtleties. They just don't get it most of the time. You know, there's the occasional exceptional guy that gets it. So you got to be pretty clear in your language, in your hints, in your whatever, so the guy knows, you know, you're interested. Can I give you examples? We are going to get there. We're going to get there, and remind me if we don't. It's around a number of other topics around that same thing. So, okay, the practical. First of all, be accountable in your relational life, especially your dating life. Make sure you've got some other people that know you're going on a date. And I know most people go, groan, oh, you know, it's just our first date. Why should I tell? No, you should be, people should know. So first of all, they're standing in your corner. They're praying for you. They should know, we recommend, especially for the ladies, that you have somebody that knows where you're going, that they have your number, and they know kind of the time frame of it. And maybe you text your friend in the middle of the date or at some point letting them know it's going okay. We live in a crazy world, okay? And unless you really know the guy really well, and you know him through referrals, you've known him at church, and you've seen a track record of good character, always be careful, right? Just be careful. Use wisdom. Meet in a public place the first date. Guys, you're not going to be picking the lady up at her door. It just doesn't work very well nowadays, okay? So you're not on a first date. So when you initiate, ask the lady to meet you at a particular coffee place or at Andale's or whatever it is, and you meet there. And do things. We really encourage people to do the first number of dates or even up till courtship or later. Always meet and do things in public places. There's a lot less chance you're going to get into trouble or have the temptations you don't want if you do that, right? Rather than, you know, taking her home at night and sitting in a dark car at midnight parked outside in the street and you're having this long chat and then things happen, you know, and you don't want to be there, okay? Most of the singles we know get themselves into trouble because they do stupid things like that. Now, it's accepted in our culture. You see it in movies. You see it on TV all the time. We think it's normal. But you know what? It's just not why. Get away. So your question shouldn't be, what can I get away with? What is normal in our world? Your question should be, what is wise? Now, what's the wise thing to do? And, you know, the other person may not be on the same page as you, so you may have to communicate around it. You know, the lady may have to say, you know, I feel more comfortable, you know, if we just met at such and such a place. You know, I have sort of a belief around this, and, you know, my friends agree with me, so whatever, just explain it. All right, dress to bless. Dress to bless. So we talked a little bit about this last time. So ladies, of course, you're dressing to bless. So that means on the one hand, it's like no hoochie mama, right? So you're not dressing in a way that he has a hard time looking you in the face, right? His eyes are wandering everywhere else. Okay, so be nice to the guy, you know, don't, you know, put the temptation out there. At the same time, don't dress like your grandma, okay? You know? A little bit of sex appeal, a little bit, you know, attractive clothes and, you know, somewhat fashionable. And if, you know, don't wear sweats or big baggy clothes. Wear something that's attractive and appealing that makes you look feminine, like a female. Guys like that. Newsflash. Guys like really feminine. They don't, you know, like tomboys. So if you need some fashion advice, like I said before, find somebody in your church that seems to have it going on in that area and ask for some help. Ask them to go shopping with you. Ask them to help you with makeup or hair, whatever it is. And the guys on the same way, in fact, usually the guys need more help in this department. They aren't the ones that get fashion magazines and, you know, look at the fashions and stuff. So now this works really well. At one of our workshops, a Dating for Keeps workshop, I said this, and one of the guys really picked up the pointer. I said, you know, some of you guys just need to ask the ladies to help you because most guys don't have a clue with regards to fashion unless you get yourself a fashion consultant or advisor. So you could always, you know, say to a lady, you know what, I really need to get myself a new wardrobe or need to shop for some good clothes, and I'm not really good at that. You know, of course, somebody that's a friend, would you mind helping me one day, you know? Go to the mall and pick out a few things. And for the most part, most ladies are going to be like happy to do that because most of them groan at the way some guys dress. And I've heard ladies, I have the privilege of, you know, hanging around more ladies now with my wife around and hear the way they talk about guys. So, this is one of their pet peeves, you know, about the way some guys dress. And of course, if a guy's going to pick out, you know, a fragrance or a cologne, why would you get another guy to help you do that? You're trying to get something that the lady would like, so find a woman to help you. You know, it's just no-brainer there. But Bill, a friend of ours who came to one of our workshops, heard this, and he turned to a lady that he'd met a couple times, and he said the exact same thing as I suggested. And next thing you know, they're going out shopping, and next thing you know, they're dating, and they were married last summer. Right? Yeah. Just for that one tip, they're now married. All right. First date. Do's and don'ts. Well, let's go back to that. I don't need to say anything there, right? You get that, you get the point there. Is that a do or a don't? Obviously a don't. So if you take your cell phone with you, turn it on airport, turn it off, don't have it around, don't be checking it all the time. It's just plain rude. Okay. And although people may not say something, if you're checking your phone and waiting for a phone call and sending a text to somebody, they aren't going to feel good about the date usually. So have some discipline and carve out, you know, if you've got something important, let people know you're going to be busy for these few hours and, you know, I won't be getting back to you. Okay. First date do's and don'ts. Okay. So we've already said, guys initiate on the date, inviting her out. I don't know what happened. I think we missed a point here, Ray, in the PowerPoint. But anyways, my first point was actually don't go out like kraut. Okay, so there are certain things that are out like sauerkraut, right? How many here actually like sauerkraut? Okay, there's some people that sauerkraut's in, but most people, sauerkraut's out. That's like that fermented cabbage. Those of you that don't know. So the days of driving up to her house, ringing her doorbell, giving her a flower, picking the lady up, boxes of candies. Yeah, don't do any of that stuff, okay? It's a whole different ballgame. But chivalry is still in, okay? So the manners of lords and ladies back in the day, it's still in. You know, you may have to give it a contemporary twist, but it's still in. So guys, open the doors for the ladies, right? Especially in a Christian culture, most women are going to be really happy about that, and they're going to be open to it. And if you aren't, ladies, defer to him. Smile really nicely and be thankful and learn how to receive and be blessed. Don't think you always have to be strong and independent, because in a relationship, it's far better for you to let the guy be the hero. Make him feel good. He'll like the date because you let him be the hero. Okay, chivalry. Help with her coat. You could even help her take the order. What I suggest is have conversation about, you know, if it's not just a coffee, say you're at an actual restaurant, discuss what you're going to order. And then there's two ways different guys like to go. You can, you know, when the person comes to the table, you, the guy takes charge and say, okay, I think Sheila's ready. Are you ready to order? And then you kind of turn the waitress to her and allow her to order first. Or you could be even bolder than that and actually order for her. And you may actually win points for that. So you've already figured out what she wants, you know what you want, and you order for the both of you. That's how it used to be in the good old days, right? So, and I don't think too many women are going to resent you if you do that. So we encourage you to do that. Okay, I'm still on the chivalry thing. So even looking around to find out what she needs at the table, and does she need a napkin? Is she looking for something? Look around to try and meet her needs. And I mean, the women can do the same, but especially the guys, that's all part of chivalry. Of course, you can go as far as, you know, putting your coat in the mud puddle as she's walking by if you really want to. but you probably don't have to go quite that far. But one thing that I've done and that I know other guys have done that will win you points, and it's good to be aware of this. If you're walking down the street somewhere, say after your coffee date, and you're going for a walk in Las Gatas somewhere or whatever it is, and you see you're walking down the road and there's some scary person on the sidewalk, or like this big scary looking dog, I encourage the guys to go on the side of the sidewalk where the scary person, the dog, is, you know? Or, you know, just kind of touch her in the back and just let her know that you're kind of there and that you're doing this to protect her. You don't have to say anything. Women will recognize that. They will really appreciate that, and they'll feel safe around you. All the ladies are nodding, right? Yes. Veronica? A friend in Paris? Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's great. Major points. Okay, so Veronica, for those that didn't hear, was with a friend in Paris, a male friend, I take it. There was a vendor that was getting really kind of aggressive and kind of angry, and this friend stepped in and became her protector and kind of looked after the situation. So guys, prepare to do that, right? Put yourself in front of her. Risk your life, whatever it is. That's what we're called to. It's good practice for marriage. Men are meant to lay their lives down for their wives, right? And still today, it's men that are, for the most part, giving their lives up on the battlefield. So you practice in smaller ways in the dating world. All right, plan simple is better, as we've already said. I don't think I have to go into that anymore. Ladies, you may have to, because especially if you work in a very male-dominated environment or a very fast-paced Silicon Valley work world, and you're used to taking charge and being more aggressive in the workplace, you may have to put on a different hat for your dating life, because that aggressive, take-charge nature is not going to work for you in a relationship with a man, especially a romantic relationship that could lead to marriage. Man doesn't want you taking charge and having to kind of dominate or argue with him, or it won't go well for you. So so we encourage you to put on a different hat, step back and say, how can I be the princess, the lady in this situation? What does that look like? How can I defer to him? How can I encourage him to lead? How can I encourage him when he does something that I really appreciate? You know, let him know, smile, be warm, be, you know, thank him for it. Use lots of thank yous, and just honor him in that way, and you'll find your dating life will go a lot better for you. I remember having this conversation with a group of women at our house one day. Claudia was doing some things for women, and she'd asked me to speak to them on the topic of respect for men, how to show honor and respect to men. And so this was one piece that I was sharing with them. And the one gal was like, yeah, well, how do I do that? You know, I've learned all my life just to be strong and independent, to do everything for myself. And, you know, I'm aggressive in the workplace. And so we had a little conversation about this, and I thought she was sort of getting it. Then afterwards, we went down for this picnic, and I had a guy's group, and we decided to meet. Everybody's going to meet around a picnic time after the session. And so we're at this picnic thing, and a table needed to be moved from over here to here near the barbecue. And so I just kind of put it out there, oh, somebody want to help with the table? And the same woman suddenly, like, sees what has to be done. She's, all right, guys, over here, the table needs moving. Get over here. And she starts like a sergeant major, like commanding them what to do. And I'm like, she's actually a very attractive woman physically, and I'm thinking, wow. I understand why you're like really, really, you know, single. Because I actually watched some of the guys kind of step back and their eyes were like this, right? Now, that's, you know, a caricature. That's an extreme. But we do encourage women to learn how to be soft. And sometimes you just may have to just kind of make an intentional decision to do so and to defer a little bit and to encourage the guy in that. Because some guys may be a little bit unsure about taking initiative because they're discouraged to do that in our culture. A lot of manly men in our culture are put down in TV and movies and other things. So the more you encourage him, the more he'll kind of step up to that. Okay. So talk and share. We encourage you to keep it simple around the first date. You don't want to be going into some real intimate kind of conversation about your past life or even about your past dating life or relationships. Try and stay away from that on the first date at least, you know. I mean, you could kind of dance around a little bit, but and if you're uncomfortable with a certain question in the conversation, just in a really lighthearted way, say, hey, maybe we could say that the next time we meet or something like that. Or just joke about it and duck around the question and go to something else. But try and keep it fun and upbeat, but still get to know the person. You want to know a little bit about them, about their work life, about their family background. So one of the acronyms that we've used a lot is FORM, F-O-R-M, family. You can ask questions around family. around occupation, around recreation, and the last one, message. In other words, give them affirming messages about things that they're saying and encourage them and repeat what they just said occasionally. Oh, I hear you're saying this. Oh, so you're really passionate about that. That's awesome. You know, little affirming messages along the way. The occupation piece, we encourage you, especially in Silicon Valley, don't belabor that. Don't spend like a long time talking about occupation because it can get really dry and boring after a while. And most people, you know, come alive when they talk about some other things. Of course, you know, if he does a very exciting job and the lady's kind of like asking him some questions and he lights up like a light bulb and gets really passionate and excited, okay, you can go on that topic for a while. But otherwise, you know, just touch on it, talk about it a bit, and move on. And if you want more tips around conversation starters, types of questions you can ask, depending on acquaintance or you're going into a more intimate relationship, we've got a whole list of questions that you can commit to memory, if you want, on our Facebook page. It's probably way back in 2012 on our Facebook page, or you can ask me to email it to you, and I will. All right. Get the bill. We encourage guys to get the bill. There's enough sort of uncertainty around this in our culture. It's just better the guy just steps up and gets the bill. And to save the awkwardness, if you go to a real restaurant, you can just give your card to the waiter or waitress, the server ahead of time and just say that, you know, can you just charge my card and it's already done. You don't even have to have the conversation around that. But step up and get the bill, unless, of course, the lady really insists, you know, maybe ahead of time she wanted to protect herself and she wanted to make sure you knew it was just a friendship date. And she said something like, okay, as long as we go Dutch or something. If you'd already agreed in advance, then, of course, you know, you follow through with that. Or if she insists. But we encourage women, let the guy pay the first number of dates. As you go further on into the relationship, you can have a conversation around that, you know, whether, you know, occasionally she will pay for some of the things. We normally suggest that even in an ongoing dating relationship that he pays more than she does, just to kind of put himself there as the initiator, and it's always good for him to do that more. Okay. Pick up or meet up. So I think we've already kind of hit on this. So first date, meet up rather than pick her up. But then ongoing dates or continuing dates, we encourage the women to just kind of tune into their safety factor. What are you feeling inside? You know, if you've gone out with a guy a number of times, do you feel comfortable with him picking you up, taking you somewhere, and bringing you back at dark? Do you feel comfortable? If you don't go along with it. You know, just say, I'll meet you there, right? And be sensitive to that. You don't have to. I mean, even till well advanced on your dating life, you don't have to have the guy picking you up. You don't have to be as extreme as, you know, we have this female friend who's involved in her church, and she insists on having a chaperone on every date that she goes out with. And the guys get kind of like frustrated with that after a while. Being in a public place is chaperone enough, right? Just go to public places, public parks where there's lots of people or a restaurant and those kind of things. But always both men and women be accountable around that. If you're getting it further on into your dating life, make sure people know where you are and, you know, kind of communicate with them. I know this sounds maybe a little bit square, but we've seen it all. Believe me, even the most godly, mature people in the Christian world, they kind of decide, oh, I'm strong enough to do this, and they end up getting themselves in trouble. So is it wise is the question you want to ask. All right, ladies, affirming and warm. So, I mean, of course, the guys want to be there too, encouraging, listening to her. But especially for the guys, you want to be get excited about some of the things he's excited about, and you may have to dig a little deeper to get to know the guy, because most guys don't share as freely, especially, you know, heart things or things they're passionate about. So you may have to dance around that, finding questions that draw out his passion. Find out the things that he's excited about, and you're going to have a win-win in that date, right? Get him excited. Your goal should be to connect and to get the guy to light up. Right? So figure out how to do that. How do you make that guy light up? What are his passions? What are the things he's excited about? And stay there, even if it doesn't interest you. The way we encourage people is by serving them. And sometimes we serve them by going places in conversation that blesses them that maybe we're not excited about at first. And you can choose to be excited and interested in things that you've never been excited about before. Like my wife with golf, right, baby? But I used some special strategies on that one to get her excited about golf. So I told her all about the men's wives and their relationships and different aspects of their life. And I gave her the relational connection to the golfers, and then she got excited about it, you know? So, all right. Learn to receive. Okay, so a lot of it, you know, you're learning how to receive, how to respond, which is one of the keys. God's made you to be a responder. And that blesses a guy. It'll make him feel encouraged. When you feel valued as a woman, when you let him, you know, pull the chair out for you or pull the chair in, take your coat and do whatever those things are. Prince or frog. So sometimes you may be tempted on a date or in a situation to think this guy's just the frog, you know, or frog. You ever read that fairy tale about the frog that turned into a prince when the princess kissed him, right? All right. So you will find that if on your dates you're looking for the prince in every frog, or he may not be a frog, just your average guy, and you're looking for the prince, you will find it. Because God has strategically placed characteristics of a prince or a king in every guy. And your goal should be to find those traits in the guy. And when you find those traits and you appreciate them and he knows you appreciate them, he will come alive and you'll have a win on that date. All right. We can ask lots more questions around that in a bit. Because I want to get onto our discussion real soon. So, both daters, be truthful. You know, don't lie about yourself or your age or about, you know, your background and stuff. If it's something you're sensitive about on the first date, dance around it or just, you know, gently say, well, let's talk about that at a different time, okay, at another time. But be truthful. You know, we have a friend who would always fudge on her age. So she'd like minimize her age by 2 or 3 years all the time. And then, you know, later on the guy would find out and, you know, it doesn't look that good. So don't lie on your dating profile page about your age because somebody's eventually going to find out. Okay. The personal questions one we've already hit on. So don't go too personal, too deep, too fast. Keep it fun, easy, and simple. First date goal is another one of the goals is keep it light and fun. Some people, because they're so intense around finding the one, it comes out like, you know, an interrogation. You know, put the spotlight on the guy. Okay, question number one. Okay, you know, what about the, oh, check, no, X. Question number two. And they may not be doing it physically, but in their head, they got this checklist of all these questions. Anybody here been in a date where it felt like that? Okay, there's a bunch. So don't do that. Let the finding out about the person and different aspects of their life be just kind of in the enjoyable journey, not the main goal in the first number of dates, right? I mean, you want to get to know the person, but it should be in a lighthearted, fun way. So if it's between continuing down a very serious conversational track or changing the conversation because something fun just happened and you make a fun comment and changing the topic, do the fun thing. Because in first dates, this is what matters, especially to women. It's how they feel about the date afterwards. It's not how much they got to know the guy, how they felt about it. And if it felt fun and lighthearted and they laughed and they had a good time, you've won on that date, right? And if they got to know some cool things about him along the way, all the better. So that's our encouragement. Of course, you want to get to know people and later dates and so on. You're going to go a little deeper every time, but you don't have to find out their life history on the first date. Well, that's the same question around work. Don't talk too much around work. And chill out on your first date. I mean, I know for some people it's very difficult meeting somebody for the first time, getting to know them. But if you can just lighten up and just have fun and not be planning your wedding as you're ordering your mocha, right? Don't be doing that. Okay, so this is what we say to women always. Always assume friendship unless out of his mouth, right here, he says something else, right? Even if he acts one way, if he does all kinds of things, if his body language says things, if he smiles, if he, you know, asks you out a number of times, assume friendship. Because until guys say something different, they're thinking friendship. They may be making all kinds of calculations in their head, but they're thinking friendship. So, unfortunately, women go too fast with their hearts and their emotions into things, and they get themselves into trouble and they get themselves hurt. You're far better off to back off and think friendship, even if the guy's like calling you, asking you out a number of times, showing up and starting to get a little romantic. Friendship, friendship, because, and it's not playing games when you're doing that. It's valuing yourself. Because unless he steps up and has enough guts to say, hey, I would like to start dating you exclusively, or, you know, I'm really interested in you, I want to go further, I'm intentionally walking this out with you, or whatever it is, whatever the next step is, unless he's willing and ready to do that, you shouldn't be willing and ready to give him your heart or to start getting involved with him, you know, emotionally. All right. Enjoy the date, don't interrogate. That's what we said. Eye contact. So when you're talking to somebody, get some eye contact. Don't be looking all over the room, and especially the guys. None of that, right? And don't go to Santana Row the first date. All the women go, why? And all the guys go, there's a lot of rubberneck in there because those women don't wear a whole lot of clothes. And I'm sure a lot of them are ladies of the night walking around prowling there. So guys, word to the wise guys, don't take a girl out on the first date to Santana Row, especially if you may have a hard time with all the scenery, right? Don't do it. Okay. So keep eye contact, but don't stare the person down. You know, you're not like, you know, burning holes through them. So occasionally give it a break and kind of look a little bit, but not too long, you know, especially if it was a woman that walked by for the guys. So maintain eye contact. And while you're maintaining eye contact, I always like to be thinking, you know, the same question that I said initially, how can I be a blessing to this person? How can I, Lord, show me something about this person that's of great value that I should notice? Right? And if the person feels that, if you're looking them in the eye and you're thinking that and you're feeling that, they will feel it and they'll get the vibe and they'll be blessed. There's something we communicate with our hearts and our spirits that our words and our eyes and our body languages don't communicate. There's something more that we can communicate with our heart. And I remember reading a book called The Greatest Salesman in the World. Amazing book, very inspirational book, but it helped me when I was running a business. I was going door to door selling my services, and one of the things he said was, always look on people and speak to them with love in your heart. And so when you're speaking to somebody, you're saying, I love you. May not be like a romantic, I want to get married love, but you care for this person. I care for you. I want to honor you. If you're thinking that in your heart, the other person will know that and they'll feel it. So I was doing that when I was doing my sales, and I made record sales that first year because I would look at people and I would talk to them and I was saying in my heart, I love this person. This person's amazing, made in the image of God, and people would know it, and they would just kind of warm up and brighten up, and I had this amazing time of sales for my business, which took me through university debt-free. All right. More first date do's. Do I have any more I want to cover? Okay, arrive on time. You know, don't take it too late on the first date. So you shouldn't be out till midnight on the first date, usually. And I always say, give people a good, pleasant taste. but don't, you know, stuff them. You know, you don't want to have a buffet the first time around. So you want to leave them wanting more, if you get what I'm saying. So they should get a pleasant, enjoyable taste of you, interaction with you. They should enjoy it, but you shouldn't give them so much that they go, oh, I don't know if I want to do that again. Right? So you don't want to kill a conversation. You know, any topic, you don't want to like go down that conversation topic till you've killed it to death. But guys, you end on a low note. You always want to end on a high note. So stop the date a little bit short. Leave people wanting. Leave them curious. A few questions so they'll want to go on the next date. All right. I think that's all on that. Oh, of course. And guys, walk her to her car. Right? Walk her to the car. Help her with anything she may be carrying. Hopefully she's not carrying huge bags on her first date. But post-date. Contact. Okay, so you're going to wait till you contact, you know, especially the guys, wait a little bit before you contact her. Don't, like, be texting her as she's walking out the coffee shop door, right? Or be calling her within a few hours. Give it a day or two. I'm not saying, like, wait, you know, a week, because she'll have decided, like, you have no interest, and then all of a sudden, what are you calling me for? Or, you know, why is he texting me now? I thought he had no interest. So there's a little bit of a happy medium here, a happy balance ground, but leave it a little while. You don't want to show yourself as, like, too eager, so you need to chill out. And even if you like the other person and you're like, wow, this person's amazing, don't let the person in on that too much. Maybe a little bit, because it's not playing games. It's because you don't know that person. How can you be excited and be planning a wedding now or think this is the one when you've just met them the first time? You have to be a person of integrity. So you don't let your emotions and your heart go further than the situation dictates, right? So if it's a first or second or third date, you shouldn't be getting too excited about the person. So you have to, like, put a bit of a cap on your emotions, even if, you know, this seems like an amazing person. And that's not playing games. It's being valuing yourself and valuing the other person. You can't let yourself start going further than the situation requires. And if this situation, you don't know that person that much, you don't know whether this person has the qualities that of a person that you would want to marry, other than they're, like, they're hot. Wow, I want to marry her. No. So pace yourself and your emotions. The last one was intentions. So try and signal your intentions after the date. I mean, you don't have to, like, depends who you talk to on this. If you talk to women, they want the guys to say, hey, I enjoyed that. I'd like to ask you out again, right? If you talk to the guys, they just want to leave and not say anything and figure it out later, right? So there's a bit of a happy medium in here. I'd say you don't have to tell the girl you want to marry her on the first date or that you even want to ask her out again. But you can say something like, you know what, I really enjoyed our conversation tonight. I enjoyed hanging out with you for coffee. You know, if you actually sincerely want to do it again, you can say, I'd love to do it again sometime. Let's, you know, I'll be in touch. If you say that, of course, then be in touch, right? Don't just drop off the map. But if you're not comfortable with saying that yet, then just say, you know, I really enjoyed our time together. Thanks so much. You know, I hope to see you around at church sometime. And now that may give her a signal that you're not interested, but it's a better way to say it than say, you know what, I'm just not interested in you, right? You don't want to say it that way. So you can give a little clue like that. You may want to think it through in advance, right? You can decide later, right? Decide later, say, just tell her how much you enjoyed your time together, escort her to her car and thank her very much. And then later on, you can email or call her and say, you know what, I've been thinking about it, I enjoyed our date, I'd really like to take you out again, right? So there's a few different approaches, but the key is communicate clearly. Communicate clearly. And I don't think it's bad to have it a bit of mystery around the first number of dates, right? Because Most people don't know what they want to do, or they're still figuring it out, or they want to figure out, they're still trying to decide whether they want to go out again. So you can learn to appreciate the person, thank the person, and not necessarily give clear signals. But eventually, after a number of dates, you're going to have to step up and make a decision. So, and we'll get to that next time. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to have one group discussion tonight. I'm just going to share one more piece after this discussion, and then we'll have a Q&A. All right? So your group discussion tonight is discuss the ideas that are most meaningful to you and why. We may give you 15 minutes on this one. And the two topics, main topics we discussed here was etiquette around preparing for a date and the first date do's and don'ts. All right? So trying to limit it to about a minute per person so other people get to talk around your table. All right, go. All right, folks. All right, so this is what we're going to do. Don't all leave now, guys. I want to get some feedback here. Okay. So I'd like to get maybe three comments about some really significant things said at your tables. So if there were some really cool or things that stood out to you that were significant at your table, I'd like to get like just a handful of comments on it. So who's first? Spokesman at one of your tables want to say. Well, he's there to hand the mic around. I think that's why he's there.
I'm here as a servant. So.
Anybody? Okay, who's going to start?
Bueller.
Come on. Somebody, something significant, something cool, something whatever fun said at your table you'd like, think the whole group should hear about. Okay, over here. Veronica.
Hi, Veronica.
We like the keep it fun, like talk about things that are fun to you instead of being kind of, I don't know, nobody used the word at a table, but kind of neurotic and thinking, oh, what if this is going through 20 questions and I have to know this, this, and this right now, you know?
Right.
Instead of getting like that, just keep it on things that
you like. Yeah, and it's not just finding fun topics. Every topic can be fun. Mm-hmm. You can just find the light side of a topic and enjoy the conversation, right? Good. Someone else.
This is going to be good.
So we didn't actually discuss this at the table, but what I got from what you said earlier was, for me personally, you talked about being softer for
right.
The man, and like that's hard for me because it wasn't the way that I grew up. It wasn't the way that I was raised. I was kind of raised to be a man, so I have to learn how to tone it down a lot more. And it's just, it wasn't something that I learned. So it's like, it's good to hear you say, but I'm like, yeah, so how do I do that? And what steps do I take? So that's kind of what was in my head as
right.
you were saying it.
Right. Yeah, and in that, I'm not saying don't be yourself. Sometimes we have learned behaviors that aren't necessarily the best behaviors, and we can unlearn those behaviors, right? And deep down inside of you, God's made you all woman, and he's made you feminine and so on. So it's a matter of saying, God, how can I tap into that and let that blossom in my life more than it has? Okay, someone else. One more person. Come on. I know there were exciting things being said at your tables. I overheard some of them.
We could hardly get him to stop talking earlier. Good Lord.
Come on. Who am I going to pick on? Pick a guy. How about over here? One of these guys. How about Michael? What was said at your table? Give him the...
Hi, Michael. No pressure.
The one thing I can remember we talked about is someone asked, you know, how can a woman show a guy she's interested? And so
that comes up every time we talk about topics like this.
So some of the things we talked about are.
And what did you guys all come to?
We talked about things like, you know, smiling, showing you're, you know, interested. And then also one of the things is, you know, in the conversation, if the person mentions something, saying something like, oh, yeah, I'd be interested in, you know, seeing something about that. So not necessarily explicitly saying that you want to see the guy again, but saying like, oh, I'd be interested in seeing that group one day, like if they talked about a music group, or I'd be interested
right.
in trying that one day.
Right.
Mentioning something that could, you know, be as if you guys were doing it together, or so I'm interested in doing that. So it's kind of opening the door up.
Good tip. Okay, Michael, those are good. So showing interest in the guy, you know, when he talks about things, actually, you know, warming up and smiling and looking like you're enjoying it rather than being like, oh, I'm so bored, you know. And, of course, if the guy mentions an activity, like he likes to rock climb. So you're out on a coffee date with Brad. He mentions he loves to go rock climbing. It's like, wow, really? Show interest, ask him questions about it and say, well, I'd love to go rock climbing someday. I mean, like, how much of a gimme is that, right? I mean, if the guy doesn't get that, you know, you don't want to date him. Exactly.
All righty then.
All right, we're going to move on. Subsequent dates etiquette. I'm not going to talk about that slide right now. Ray put that one in there. Did you have a question around that you can ask at the end? Okay, men, just do it. So guys, typically guys, the onus is on you to plan the date. You know, if you're in a long-term exclusive relationship, you can start to share the planning around the date or discussing, but if you're in the initial two or three or four date stage, guys, you should be the one doing the planning. And we normally say, you know, take the risk of being wrong. Take the risk of doing something that maybe she's maybe not into, and then, you know, learn to have fun in the place, even if you did, right? I mean, she'll appreciate the fact that you took the risk and you took the lead. However, you know, especially for the very first date, you know, just say, you know, I'd like to take you here. How about we meet here? And you take the initiative and plan. In subsequent dates, we suggest listening really carefully during your first date, right? Finding out the kind of things that she likes. What does she like to do? What kind of things does she like to eat? What kind of activities? And then you're going to score yourself huge brownie points if you ask her out on a subsequent date that includes one of those things or more than one of those things that she really likes. Right? So take notes. You're kind of part of your first date is research as well, right? So you're kind of researching for upcoming date. You can occasionally, guys, do this. Call her up and to ask her out on the date and say, well, I had this in mind. You know, I hope you don't hate Afghan food or something, right? And if, you know, if she doesn't, then you're good, right? But still, you want to be taking the initiative. You've got the ideas. You're the guy suggesting things. And ladies, if he does try and include you in on, you know, what kind of food or do you dislike this or whatever, be honest with him. Don't, you know, kind of pretend you like something and then you go out to whatever, a sushi bar, and you just hate sushi, right? And you're like, oh, this sucks. I can't believe he took me here. It's, you know, all these parasites in this raw fish. I can't believe it. All right.
I have the best story around that ever.
Parasites? No, we don't want to talk about that right now, Brad.
No. Okay. I'll be very quick.
You better be quick. I'm going to shut you off.
Okay, so I went out on a date with a woman, and we went to go have food, and I'm a very adventurous eater. So we go to a Filipino restaurant. She happened to be Filipino, and there's this thing called bitter melon, and I've never had it before. And I'm, what is this? And some of you are like, oh, I know what that is. It tastes like what it sounds like. And I tried it, and just as I tried it, it hit right here, you know? And the reflex kicked in just as the waiter walked by and asked, how's the food? And uncontrollably, I went, it's delicious, you know? And, yeah, so we didn't go out for Filipino food anymore.
That's what you would call a first date faux pas, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, avoid compromise. So be careful about your dates and choosing wisely. If you're a Christian, you want to honor God as well as you want to honor the other person. So you don't want to be choosing dates that, you know, put yourselves in compromising positions, like, you know, in a dark, lonely place late at night. Or, and this is probably controversial because we live in such a progressive society that Christians have taken on a lot of the mores of our culture. But we always suggest, don't be going away for weekends, just the two of you, because it just doesn't look right. You know, you're going away. People are asking, didn't I hear they just, like, took off to Hawaii together? They're not married. They've just been dating for a little while. Are they staying in the same hotel rooms? What else are they doing? You know, you leave yourself open to all those questions, and it doesn't honor the Lord, and it puts yourself in a compromising place and of temptation. So use your brain. Use some wisdom. We, a while back, went up to a church in Bethel that we like to go visit. God's doing some amazing things up there, and sometimes we take a group of people with us. So we invited some people to go with us, and a couple showed up that had heard about it, and we know they just started dating, and they just showed up there, and then they said, okay, well, we're going to go now, and then they showed up the next morning at the church service, and we're like, all right, I wonder what's going on there, you know, where are they staying, and what hotel is this, are they in? You know, so you leave all these questions open, and next thing you know, we find out some major things happen that shouldn't happen. So be careful, be wise. Okay, DTR, define the relationship. Okay, so don't do that, gals especially. Don't, after a few dates or you've been dating for a little while, don't you be the one initiating a DTR talk. Okay, so Joe, we've been dating quite a while, you know. We've been going out. We've had some nice dinners and stuff together. So what are your intentions? Don't be doing that, because you put the guy on the spot. He's already probably thinking about it, and if he doesn't have the guts to stand up and start talking about it, your bringing it up is not going to help. It's going to make him feel bad or put on the spot, and he's probably going to withdraw, distance himself, and he's probably not going to ask you out again. He may give you a token date after that, but it's unlikely. So be careful around that. But on the other side of it, if you've been dating a number of times, you've got to be clear with the lady, because she's going to have all these questions, right? You know, she's read those bridal books and stuff, right? So you got to help her out. So, you know, just being clear would help. You know, this is a coffee date. You know, I'd like to ask you out for dinner. I've really enjoyed getting to know you. I'd like to continue to get to know you. Even those clear communication things are clarity that will help the gal. So there's various types of probably stages in your relationship. So there's the friendship, getting to know you stage, right? And so if you're communicating that periodically, you know, I'm still enjoying getting to know you. You know, it's been great, you know, our friendship and learning about you, and I want to continue to do so. Okay, well, that's a communication. You know, you've at least let her know something, right? If you have a more serious intention, you've been going out for a while, it's like good to say, you know what, I've been having a great time getting to know you. I see we have a lot in common. We seem to be going in the same direction in life. You know, I want to continue getting to know you, continuing to date you with intentions of, you know, seeing this, where this can take us. Okay? So that's a good little thing to say, because now you've communicated, okay, you're more serious. You're wanting to walk this out a little more seriously. And she knows what's going on. She's not going to be like all insecure and freaking out. And then we had this one gal that was part of our ministry, we've had lots of talks with, who has a hard time in that place of not knowing. A lot of women do. But she would take it like a tiger date, right? So if he wasn't talking, she was going to have the DTR and he was going to tell her what's going on, right? So she would sit him down and say, okay, so tell me what's going on. You know, what are you thinking? You know, we've been dating and you've been asking me out. What are your intentions? What are you thinking about? And she would like drill the guy. And like, we've had to like help heal the wounds of guys that she jumped on after these DTRs, right? And I mean, one guy, he would take like a couple weeks after one of these things just to recover emotionally, because she was all over him. And so, don't do that, ladies, but guys, help her out a little bit, right? You know, help her out by being clear. Eventually, the next stage after the first two I mentioned, so there's the getting to know you friendship stage, dating with intentions, then there's exclusive dating, right? You know what? I really feel like we're going somewhere in this relationship, that there could be a future in our relationship. I would like to date you exclusively. I'd like us to really make this a thing. However you want to communicate it, but just be clear. The exact words aren't as important as she understands the sentiment, right? Then there's courtship after that. Courtship is like we're totally committed to walking this out till marriage, unless we get like, you know, a flashing red light somewhere along the way. That's where we're going. Okay. That's what Claudia and I did. We skipped over some of those other stages because we were long distance. So for 4 months, we were long distance, phone, email, long 3-4 hour conversations. Our first weekend together, I mean, it was just, you know, just to figure out, okay, are we going to make this work or not? And I invited her to start a courtship. And we were ready for that. But not all relationships are going to go that route. If you're, you know, you're living in the same area, you're probably going to go through a few more stages before you get there. All right, where did I put my... Okay, so be clear. I think I've covered all the stages of being clear, so how to talk about it, how to talk about the type of date you're going on, which stage of the relationship you're at. To kiss or not to kiss? That is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or to take arms. Well, that's Shakespeare, to be or not to be. This is the age-old question among singles, and it's a tough question to ask or answer. But here's what we say. There's no hard and fast rule around getting physical in a relationship, other than we know Christians are to keep sexual relationships to marriage, right? But then why would you do some of those things that are things that lead right to sex if you're not going to get married? So some of those things you need to avoid too. But around holding hands, you know, arm in arm or kissing, every couple's different, but you need to be really careful. We say err on the side of caution rather than on the other side. The Bible says, do not awaken love before she pleases. In other words, don't stir up emotions and passions and even sexual passions before you're ready for it. Why would you? Or just stir up emotional connection when you don't even know that you want to marry that person. Why would you start to give that person your heart, getting emotionally connected to somebody that you haven't even decided that you could marry this person? So guarding your hearts, not awakening love, not awakening emotional things in your heart is very important in a relationship. And it's not just important to protect you and to protect the other person and to value yourself and to value the other person. It also really helps a relationship progress. Because just the nature of guys, because of their kind of hunting instinct that God's put in every guy, the desire to initiate, if he knows he's got you in a bag, you know, he's got your heart, he will tend to lose the initiative to pursue. And a lot of women we come to wonder why guys just got cold and just stopped calling them. And we start to ask them questions around, okay, well, what signals were you giving him? Are you like really sold on him? Are you like moonstruck over the guy? Oh yeah. Oh, I'm totally like, I'm done. Like, I think the guy's amazing. Well, I said, that's why. Because you communicated that to him in 100 different ways and he lost interest because he knows he's got you, and there's all these other interesting women around who he knows he doesn't, and so he's going to pursue them. He's got one in his pocket. Let's go find a few more. Now, of course, he's not thinking that way. He's just acting that way. It's just kind of an instinctual thing. Guys don't think. Unless they've established ahead of time, they've decided a way of integrity that they're going to walk out relationships, and some guys do this. I decided ahead of time, before Claudia, before others, I realized I saw this travesty in our culture of broken heart after broken heart and broken relationships. And I decided ahead of time, I'm not going to do it the way our culture does it. That I'm going to be very clear in my communication, and I'm going to tell her all the time, you know, this is just friendship now, right? We're still in the friendship stage, you know, so, you know, let's continue to guard our hearts. I would say that because I didn't want her, because I had those experiences of women who was just started as friendship and she fell in love with me. And I'm like, oh, God, I'm now the jerk, you know, because she fell in love with me and I have no intentions, right? So I started to communicate very clearly around that because I wanted to date with integrity and I wanted to care for the person and the woman that I was seeing. And so we really encourage people to do that. And, you know, if you're not ready to go to the next stage, then, you know, chill out and communicate about it and, you know, just let people know what's going on. So I'm sure we'll get more of that in the conversation later. Your dates are about making memories. That's part of the thing, you know, just have fun, enjoy the moment, make some memories together. And we've already mentioned this. Ladies, friends until further notice. So in your mind, it's always friends until he said otherwise. That will keep you in a good emotional place, right? That'll protect your heart. And of course, you know, praying and asking God to guard your heart along the way will really help too. All right, I'm not going to do this because this is another talk some other time. And I don't think we got too many people here in this stage anyway. So the moving towards exclusive relationship, courtship, and dating etiquette. But there's ways you can navigate that, conversations you need to have about the level or the place you are in the relationship. And it's important to communicate about those things. And there's probably some good books out there on it anyways. Okay. So Q&A. Any question cards at your tables? If there are, just maybe Brad, you can get hold of them and bring them. Honey, can you help? Or Ginny? And we'll do this really quick. Okay, while they're doing that, I've got a few questions from last time that some people handed in. If a man is texting but doesn't call to have phone conversations, is that an indicator that he doesn't really have enough interest in you? Yeah, I mean, it's a number of things. Obviously, he's not interested enough or doesn't have enough gumption to call you, or he doesn't want to lead you to believe that he wants more, but he's kind of testing the waters probably, right? He's like checking it out. He's, you know, at that point, he's maybe texting a few different women, right? Given in the secrets, he's probably kind of testing the waters in other places. And so it's in your best interest to not be responding all the time. In fact, we counseled one particular woman, and you don't want to do this like right away, but if he's only texting or emailing you and you've been doing it for quite a while, you need to either back off a lot and hardly ever respond to give him the clue that he needs to step up and make it more, or you need to communicate something. So we had a friend that did this and said to the guy, by the way, you know, I've been enjoying getting to know you, you know, this digital relationship way. However, I'm not that into it anymore, you know, but I'd like to get to know you face to face, or at least conversation over the phone. So if you want to do that, let me know. And didn't communicate with. And of course, the next thing you know, the guy's calling and they're having, you know, long phone conversations. So you don't want to say it like an angry bird. You know, you just want to say it in a pleasant, nice way just to let the guy know where you are. But, you know, if you come off angry, you know, the guy's likely not going to be continuing. Okay. Where were they? If a guy friend-zoned a woman, is the guy unlikely to change his mind, to not want to date her? And then shouldn't friendship be a good basis for a relationship? Okay. This is the travesty in our culture. Somehow in our culture, we valued romance and mystery over friendship. Whereas you still hear this other saying, you want to marry your best friend. But we don't act like that in our culture. I mean, all the movies, it's like romance and dates and serendipity and all these signs and wonders happen, and they see the stars flying when he walks by and the license plate comes by with her name on it and all these things, you know, and it's just weird, romantic, unrealistic garbage, right? Friendship still is the best way to start any relationship. And why would you want to marry somebody that you aren't great friends with, who you don't know really well? But the stupid thing is, we bought the lie from our culture that, you know, you're either friend-zoned or you're dating and you've got all these exciting butterflies flying around. And we don't believe that's God's way. In fact, we believe you start with friendship, and as you make decisions around commitments, then you start to open your heart, and then the romance and the feelings should happen. You may have some initial butterflies and enamorment with the person, but generally God's created us to make decisions, you know, to hear God's voice, to make decisions, and our feelings will follow. If we live our life following our feelings, we'll always get in trouble. You will always make bad decisions if you follow your feelings. Always. Well, maybe not always. Maybe only 99% of the time. But hormones and feelings and emotions will get you into trouble if you're not leading those with good decisions. And then you're giving your emotions permission. And in our culture, we don't even believe that you can give your emotions permission. It just kind of happens. That's not true. It's not true. So I was very careful with Claudia, and we guarded our hearts. And I chose when I was going to let my heart be vulnerable and when I was going to. And if you're having a hard time with that and there's no definition around the relationship, you need to back off. So I don't even know what the initial question was. The friend zone thing. Okay.
We got one question from the audience.
Let me just finish this question, then I'll get the audience one. Is he likely to change his mind? Well, I mean, my question would be, how do you know he friend-zoned you? Maybe he friend-zoned you because you've been hanging out with him with no definition around the relationship, and you've given him all kinds of things that he needs and wants without reciprocal requirements. You haven't required commitments. You haven't required him to find the relationships. You know, you're going out for dinner. You're hanging out at his place on the couch. You're watching football with him. You cooked him dinner. You did all kinds of things. Of course, he's going to friend-zone you. I mean, you've got to respect and value yourself enough that you're not going to do all those things that mean a higher commitment level of a relationship. And you're giving those freely without any commitment. Don't give stuff away freely without commitment. That's right, Catherine. She knows. You know, you should have some requirements of the guy. And if he's an honorable guy and a guy of integrity that wants to honor God, he'll step up and start making the commitments. Of course, you want to give some time for grace and for him to make the decisions. But at the same time, you know, don't give away the farm before he's paid for the mortgage. Right? Okay. What's the question, Brad? All right. I know. Some people didn't get that analogy.
I was just with that question. I guess there's two ways to interpret it that would require different answers. One way is that you guys start off as friends and you haven't defined anything, but then there's another situation where you had to define a relationship, and the discussion, one of the parties said, "I want to just be friends."
Right.
So I think those are. So your answer was for the first one, but I think the second one may be a different answer. If one person has said, the definition of my relationship is we only are friends, then I think it's
a
different.
Yeah, and if a guy came out and actually said that when he's usually slow to make any kind of statements around defining a relationship, if he said that, it's likely that that's pretty firm, right? If you've been in a friendship for a long time and then he comes out and says, you know what, I want you to know that I just want this to be a friendship. I don't see it going any further. You know, probably 99% of the time, that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, there's the odd chance of a lightning bolt, but, you know, don't count on it. And so we always say to people, until there's a commitment or definition to the relationship, don't be like in your mind making it exclusive. Open yourself up to other people and other relationships. Go out with other people and let the other person you may be more interested in know. You've got an active life. You're hanging out. You're enjoying friendships with the opposite sex and other people, right? They need to know. They have to step up and make a decision and commitment, or else they're going to lose you. So, but don't like slot yourself into this. You know, I know people that they get their focus on one person. Their sights are on one person. And so that person hasn't said they're really interested, they want a date, but they close off any other possibility around them. So other people are coming around and showing interest, but they're closed because they're focused on this one person. And so I know people that have done that for years, and, you know, wasted all these opportunities of other people that were around and interested in them, and then they realized in the end that this person wasn't going to change, they weren't really interested in them, and then they regret it. So don't do that. You know, it's like honoring words and commitment. Okay, Brad, was there another one?
I was just going to comment on your farm deal. I think the analogy is why buy the cow when you get the milk for free, I think is how it goes. If you catch our drift, you milk suckers.
And that doesn't have to mean, you know, kind of the sexual thing. That could mean just giving emotional fulfillment to somebody that isn't appropriate for the stage of relationship. Or giving, you know, things like, you know, I don't know, cooking him dinner and doing his laundry when you're just you know, friends. I mean, that's not appropriate, so don't do it. You know, he's got his mom for that, or, you know, he needs to just step up and be a big boy and do it himself, right? So, all right, any other questions? Do we have another card here? Any more questions?
I'm pretty loud, sorry. It's a tough balance to know, like, what's showing kind of boundaries and value for yourself and showing interest. Because you can kind of say in your, you know, as kindly as you can, you know, oh, that's too personal of a question right now, you know, or, oh, I don't really have time to do your laundry, you know. And the guy could be like, oh, well, I guess she doesn't really like me, you know, and then what, is that just a jerk or what? Or is it, well, I mean, I just don't understand, like, to me, it's a really tough balance to figure out. Like,
right, how do you set boundaries so that you don't turn the guy off, right?
Right, yeah, okay, good.
This is kind of your question. Okay, well, if you're giving far more affirmations and positive, warm responses and, like, excitement around things he's talking, if you're giving far more of that than you are boundaries, then it's all good, right? If the boundary's just once in a blue moon, he's not going to get the wrong impression, right? He's just going to know, okay, you're... You know, you're drawing boundaries, you value yourself, and that you're not going to go there, and that's be okay. But, you know, if you're constantly drawing boundaries, and some women, their whole life is a boundary. So they go to events, and they've got this no force field around them, right? And so nobody can come even near to it, and it's just the way they carry themselves. It's like guys are kind of scared to go near them because they kind of frown, and they're all closed, and they don't just seem to be warm and friendly and stuff, and so... They're, you know, the way they carry themselves is a permanent boundary. So you don't want to be there. You want to be probably the opposite, warm and friendly and open to people, getting to know all kinds of people, and at times setting a boundary. All right, any others? One last question. We're going to wrap. Okay. Brad?
Hold on.
Ice cream. Okay. I'm just curious to know if the same applies for online dating when it comes to initiation, because I think it's a little more challenging to let someone know that you might be interested without initiating. Does that make sense? So if you come across a profile and you are interested in that person, you wouldn't be able to let them know that you're approachable, right, without initiating something online.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe the boundaries get a little blurred around the online thing. I still think predominantly you want to let the guy do the initiating, but I mean, I'm not hard and fast, you know, rules around that. I mean, if a woman wants to, I mean, on some sites you do, I'm not even current
winking.
With the online, you can do a wink or you can do a
smiling,
or you could say, you know, enjoyed your profile, love that you're into rock climbing or something, or say something like that and leave it, you know? And if he doesn't follow up with that, and then from then on, he better take it from there and initiate, because, you know, you don't want to be doing that, you know, in an ongoing way. I mean, so, and I'd say probably let your heart be the guide, or your prayer and the Holy Spirit inside be your guide around that, you know? If you just feel prompted, no, don't initiate. Like, for instance, Claudia and I met online, right? And she felt the Lord say, I think she saw my profile because we were matched on this particular site. She saw my profile. She was like, oh, you know, he seems like a cool guy. I'd like to get to know him. And she felt immediately prompt, don't initiate. And so I came back from a mission trip. I saw her profile and I initiated. But that doesn't mean to say that the Lord may not prompt. Like, I mean, it's not even hard and fast in the Bible. Look at Ruth. Ruth went to Boaz's cave or his threshing cave or whatever and lay down at his feet. And, you know, big hint, if you didn't get that one, you know, I'm into you, Boaz, right? So women can give hints occasionally, but just be led of the Lord on that. And you just don't want to be doing that all the time in the relationship. That's all. Oh, another one.
One
okay,
more.
This has got to be the last. Okay.
Hang on. Ice cream cone.
So what is the reasonable time for waiting for him to make that conversion? So from friend zone, or if you're dated a couple of times, how long should you even wait for him to take it to the next step?
I don't think you should wait. Live your life. Fill it with lots of good things. Be involved in ministry at church. Have lots of great friendships. Be friends with other guys. And that is going to stand you in emotional stead to be more desirable. You're not going to be desirable if you're sitting at home waiting for the guy to do something. You're desirable if you're out there with a full life, right? And he's realizing, wow, she's cool. She's got all these interests. She's got other people in her life, other guys. You know, I find her intriguing. I'm going to ask her out. So, yeah, don't be a wallflower in your life either, you know. So don't sit at home waiting for him to, you know. He should realize that, you know, you went out on one date and you've got a lot of things going on in your life. So he calls you once and he says, hey, you know, how would you like to? Oh, sorry, I'm booked for the weekend. I've got all kinds of things going on. But, you know, if you give me a little advance notice next time, you know, maybe, you know, I think be confident in yourself that you're of value and that if you're unavailable somewhat, it actually places higher value on you. It doesn't diminish. You don't have to sit there trying to keep your whole life and your schedule open for a guy that's not stepping up. Don't do that. All right. Are we done?
I think we're done. We should pray it out.
I'm going to do a quick wrap and a prayer. So this whole dating etiquette stuff is great. You know, some practical insights and tips that we don't usually talk about in the church and in life. And it's good for you to know this stuff. However, I want to kind of go back to the greatest thing, which is really for all of us, if we knew deep in ourselves that we're valuable, that we're loved, and that God loves us, we would tend to do the right things etiquette-wise in relationships and dating situations. We would do wise things. The number one reason why we mess up in this area and people give their hearts away too soon or they get involved or they do all kinds of stupid things around dating is because they don't really love themselves and they don't know God's love. To be honest, but if I just had a topic around talking about God's love for you, nobody would come. So, but I do want to say that that's the most important thing that you should be pursuing in your life, to know God's love for you, to experience it. Like Ephesians 3:19 says that we would know the love of God practically through experience, which is far greater than just knowledge of God's love. You read it in the Amplified Version. That's what it says. It's talking about experiential love. And so we can grow in a relationship with God where we come to know his love for us, that we become so secure in that, that in relationships with the opposite sex, we aren't coming across needy. We don't need their love. It's just an added bonus, and it'll be a compliment for a great life together. But, you know, you're so full of God's love, you got lots to give away. So you don't want to come into relationships half empty. You want to come into relationships full. You're full of life. You're full of love with other relationships with God, and you got lots to give away. And so on that note, I just want to pray. I mean, some people here may not have even started that relationship with God, that love relationship. We call it, you know, coming to Jesus, making a decision to follow him, or inviting him to be your friend and your Savior and your Lord. And so if there's anybody here tonight that hasn't done that, we want to invite you to pray and start that new love relationship with Jesus, because that's ultimately the thing that's going to stand you in stead for life, to live a confident life, valuing yourself and enjoying relationships. And then there may be people here that just want to grow in knowing God deeper and experiencing his love. So I'm going to pray a prayer around that, and then we'll call it a wrap. Father, we thank you that we've gathered here in your name as your children, and that you're here with us. Your Spirit is here with us. And we thank you that you value us. You want us to have great relationships. We want us to know you and to enjoy our relationship with you. And so, Lord, I just want to invite those that, you know, may want to just pray to receive Christ into their lives to do so tonight. So I'm just going to pray a quick prayer, and you can just agree with me in your heart. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart tonight, into my life. I want to follow you. I want to know you as a friend. I want to know that you're real. And I need you to forgive me. Please forgive me for ways that I've hurt you, that I've hurt other people, that I've sinned. Please wash me clean and give me a new start. I believe, Jesus, that you died for me and that you rose again. And you want to have a loving friendship and relationship with me. and I want to go be where you are when I die. I want a home in heaven. And so I invite you to come live in my life. And then for those of you that want just to experience his love and to feel the security of knowing his love in your life, everywhere, in every aspect of your life, I'm just going to pray over you this. Father, I pray for everyone here that you would touch them tonight in a way they've never experienced you before. That over tonight and then throughout the weeks to come, they would experience your love, according to Ephesians 3:19, by experience and not just intellectual knowledge, that they would know your love and experience it, that you would take your love so deep into their heart that they would be changed and transformed people, that love in their lives would make them stand up and value themselves, that it would inject new confidence in them and new joy for their life, and that people would see that, they would see the change, and that other people would be blessed by the love of God that comes out of them. I bless everybody here tonight with that, and we pray that we just, all of us, have an awesome, you know, few weeks till the next time we meet, and that we'd even have some exciting stories about some cool dates. In Jesus' name, amen.